This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. If you are a baby boomer who grew up in Michigan, chances are very good you'll remember a particular point in time when you and the family would be out in your backyard peering into the night sky, searching for UFOs. For one week in March of 1966, Michigan was awash with reports of UFO sightings. Scores of people called police to report suspicious items in the sky. Ultimately, the Air Force dismissed the sightings as nothing more than swamp gas, causing then-Congressman Gerald Ford to fire off an indignant statement declaring that people deserved a better explanation than something as laughable as swamp gas. Dr. Rudy Lindner is a professor of history and astronomy at the University of Michigan, and he teaches a class called Discovery of the Universe. And in that class, they track the history of UFOs. We wanted to do that, so he is kind enough to join us in the studio. Welcome to the program, Rudy.
Thank you for asking me.
How has Michigan figured into the history of UFO sightings as compared to other states? Have we had more or fewer?
Michigan, I would say, is about average. One of the difficulties is that Michigan is the second cloudiest state in the Union. Mm-hmm. So therefore, there is a selection effect that goes into all of this. There's also a problem that with a couple of large metropolitan areas, people don't look up to the sky very much because, quite frankly, sometimes it's even hard to see the moon.
Yes.
I can say that Michigan has far fewer of these sightings, at least historically, than does the state of Ohio. Ohio seems – there are no really – mm-hmm. Wonderful statistics on this. Ohio seems to be the leader in such reports. And quite frankly, for example, the first report in which there was a mysterious death that was attributed perhaps to alien action was in Ohio very, very early on in the late 40s, early 50s. For anybody who was associated with the University of Michigan, it is of course a little bit easier to accept the notion that aliens might have some special relationship with the state of Ohio and its people.
So there you go. When did UFO sightings first start? If you were to kind of do a graph as far as frequency of reports, when did we first have people going, there's something in the sky and I think it's something from another planet?
In the Hebrew Bible.
Oh, okay.
However, there have been occasional waves. There was a wave in the 1880s. There was a little bit of a wave in World War II because of some things that fighter pilots saw. But really it all began in 1947, again with the rise of the Cold War, mm-hmm. people being uncertain about what American technology was doing, whether we had special weapons, whether the Russians had special weapons.
Right.
And when it began in 47 and grew in 48 and you had people in airliners and pilots and people seeing them, a certain amount of fraud, much of which was very ingenious. We have early contactees in the early 1950s, so that now, according to the research of John Mack at the Harvard Medical School, about 1 in 3,000 Americans, according to his projections, claims to have been abducted by aliens. This means that the next time that there's a big game in the Michigan Stadium, and of course all of them are big games in the Great Michigan Stadium, which seats about 109,000 people, there will be 33 people, who knows, one sitting next to you, who claims to have been abducted by aliens. Now, the important point about that is that that is in fact an undercounting. I'm sure that if you've ever come across somebody who claimed to have been abducted by aliens, you may have found them a little bit different in some ways. And there's a reason for that, and the reason for the undercounting is the same reason. We only see the ones whom they throw back.
The good ones they keep.
And the ones who would make, you know, the most sense, of course, are the ones whom they keep. So it's something to bear in mind. The 66 flap, yes, as it's called, is one of the last of the great
sighting waves.
Of the great sighting waves.
You're listening to Stateside on Michigan Radio. I'm Cynthia Canty. There's a lot in the news that's serious, and here on Stateside, we sit down with the smartest experts to unpack what it means to all of us. But we also like to step back and laugh and celebrate just who we are as Michiganders. Whether it's fun or serious, there's definitely lots to talk about in Michigan these days. Stateside is here to give us the space to have these in-depth conversations that bring context and understanding to what it means to live, work, and grow up in Michigan. This kind of public-spirited dialogue happens with financial support from you. 63% of the station's budget is listener support. Some people give $5 a month, others give $100 a month. Decide what this station is worth to you. Call 888-258-9866 or pledge online at michiganradio.org. Here's Zoe Clark and Tamar Charney to tell you more about the fall membership drive.